Dear fellow redeemed, the words which you have printed before you in your bulletin are correct. The reference is incorrect. These words are from Matthew chapter 4, reading verses 1 through 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Dear Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are the truth. We ask that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. What is your weakness? With what is Satan going to tempt you? Alcohol? Some illicit drug? To bring you an escape? To provide some relief from your misery, to bring you some excitement? Or are you more tempted by sexual sins, fornication, looking at pornography, thinking, and even acts of adultery? Some of you right now might be sitting there inwardly agreeing, "Yeah, that's where I'm weak." Some of you might be sitting there right now going, "Pornography? Drugs? I'm not tempted by those things at all. I have far too much self-control to be tempted by those gross sins. I'm better than that. I'm a very faithful person." And thus, Satan tempts you into pride, perhaps leading to gossip and self-righteousness, obfuscating the cross. Satan tempts you where you are weak. We know this because that's what he tried to do with Jesus. Jesus was in the wilderness. He had been fasting for 40 days and for 40 nights. And to say the least, he was hungry. I'd be hungry after one day going without food. Satan tempted Jesus to turn stones into bread. Now, at first we might wonder to ourselves, well, what's the harm in that? Get some food to eat. But if Jesus would have complied with Satan, not only would he have been obeying Satan, but he also would have been using his divine powers to serve himself. You see, if you look through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you'll see that Jesus, as the Messiah, in his state of humiliation, being subject to the law, only uses his divine powers to serve others. For example, when he did make bread, when he at least multiplied bread at the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, he used his powers to serve the crowd, to serve others, and ultimately to serve his heavenly Father. But you see how Satan works. Satan will tempt you where you are weak. And he will even try to present terrible sins to you as if they will be beneficial for you. Thankfully, Jesus, as hungry as he was, resisted obeying the devil. How did Jesus do it? He answered, "It is written." He quoted God's word. God's word is powerful. It is effective. God's word is your source of truth. It's what you need to combat the father of lies. God's word gives you strength for your weakness. It gives you wisdom And in fact, God's word, it gives you life itself. Jesus said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Here in this sentence, it's not future imperatives that are used. Jesus doesn't say, "Man should not live on bread alone." Rather, it's a future indicative. It's a statement of fact. Man will not live on bread alone. In other words, if you want to live, you will live on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. If you want to resist Satan, then you will use God's powerful word, a source of truth. And so this morning I encourage you to study his word, learn his word, memorize his word, have it in your heart and ready to go on the tip of your tongue. Have you tried to resist Satan in the past and failed? Found that you gave in to that lure of sin? Perhaps committed some terrible sin. And on that occasion, Satan won. What does that mean for you? Are you going to be condemned? God does not want you to be led by Satan down the pathway that leads to hell. Rather, he wants you to be turned to his son, his faithful son. If we look at the wider context of our lesson this morning, we see a beautiful typology. There is a parallel that we can see between Jesus and the Old Testament believers. Immediately prior to this account of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, we have the account of Jesus' baptism in the waters of the Jordan River at the beginning of his public ministry. At that time, the voice of the Father was heard from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased." The very next verse is the beginning of our lesson. Then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. You could take them as a unit. Now, the parallel here is that in the Old Testament, the sons of God, the Israelites, were saved from Pharaoh through the parted waters of the Red Sea. When they reached the other side, they were free. God the Father had declared them as his beloved sons. And then he led them into the wilderness, into the desert, not to be tempted into sin, but to be tested in their faithfulness. What was the outcome? They failed again and again, worshiping the golden calf, complaining about no food, getting the manna from heaven, and then complaining about that. They were unfaithful sons. But God sent his own beloved son, Jesus, like all of the sons of Israel condensed into one son, one representative son, a faithful son. God gave his approval of his son at his baptism, but then to demonstrate how pleased he was with him, how faithful he was, God himself, notice that it's the Holy Spirit who leads Jesus into the wilderness. He led him into the desert to be tempted to sin by no less than Satan himself. What was the outcome? This son succeeded. He was faithful to his father's word and used it to successfully resist Satan. And then he even obeyed his father's will to die for the unfaithful children of God. That is why he didn't resist arrest. He didn't resist the crown of thorns. He didn't resist the nails or the cross. He suffered and died in your place to forgive your adultery, your pride, your gossip, your lusts and all of your failures. By the cross and the resurrection, that one faithful Son defeated Satan. He is your champion. Now, until Jesus returns, Satan still roams around for a while, and you need to be alert to this, and you need to use God's powerful word. For example, if Satan comes to you and tries to tempt you into gossip, you could recall the eighth commandment, or you might recall portions of James which speak about the power of words, the power of the tongue. You might recall portions of Scripture which talk about loving one another. And of course, you can use the gospel to comfort yourself and against Satan. You see, the gospel of Jesus is freedom for us, but to Satan, it's a restrictive chain. Satan cannot accuse or threaten anyone who trusts in their substitute, the faithful Son, Jesus. What a great day Judgment Day will be. Finally seeing the devil condemned. Finally seeing the tempter cast into the lake of fire forever. And you, the believer, being welcomed into that kingdom where there is no temptation, there is no sin, there are no tears, but a heavenly banquet. All of the joys that the devil falsely promised you through sin that never came to fruition, you will actually have, but in a pure, true, and complete way beyond your imagination, because Jesus is your champion, your brother, that faithful Son. Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness. Amen.